it up there. Now, you got your Bible up with that hand. If you see somebody without their Bible, take your other finger on your other hand and just point at them and say, "Ooh." That actually wasn't too bad. Bible attendance is doing all right. Bless the Lord. Well, if you have your Bible, let's open up to the book of Joshua, the first chapter. I hadn't planned on it, but I'm going to continue my study on what you see is what you get. And I tell you what, this is powerful. If you were, how many of you were here last week? Raise your hand. I mean, no, you weren't, liars. I meant the week before last. I'm sorry for calling you a liar. I set you up kind of unintentionally. How many of you were here 2 weeks ago? There you go. All right. The rest of you, you missed out on part one, so I'll do a little bit of review to catch you up on this. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for the power that it has, that it's not just an old book. It's not just a book of words. It's not like the Lion, Witch, and a Wardrobe. It's not like Gone with the Wind. This book contains and is your Word. And it's powerful, living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. This book has the principles that pertain to all life and godliness. So now we ask the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the church, to come and teach us tonight, each individually and corporately, and show us some things that we can apply to our life to become everything that you've called us to be. Father, I pray that you paint such accurate pictures in us tonight that we'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Joshua, we're going to be reading in the first chapter here, but let me just preface a little bit. We went back and we read in the book of Numbers last week how Moses, when he was over the children of Israel, he sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. The 12 spies came back, and they were all in agreement on some issues and in disagreement on other issues. They were all in agreement that the land was awesome. It truly was a land as beautiful and as fruitful and as blessed as God had said. It was indeed a land flowing with milk and honey. But it also had a lot of people that called it their home. That said, this is our land. There were lots of ites. Remember all those ites? The Jebusites and the termites and all the rest of them were out there. And 10 of the spies came back and said, you know what? Yes, indeed, it is a wonderful land. It is a beautiful land. And boy, would we love to be there. But it's already occupied. And we even saw some of the descendants of Anak there, giants in the land. And let me tell you, we need to just stay away from them. God led us out here, and we realize that there's nothing we can do about it. We better just stay on this side of the Jordan River, because if we go on the other side, we'll be defeated. We're not warriors. We've been slaves all these years, and so on and so forth. Well, two of the spies saw it differently. Two of the spies said, "What are you talking about? Not only is it a land flowing with milk and honey, but the people that are over there, I mean, compared to our God, they're wimps. They can't do anything against us. Every time we turn around, the Lord our God fights for us." And they just had a completely different viewpoint. But the viewpoint that we were pointing out last week came from within. It didn't come from the eyes that you can see with out here in the material world, the physical eyes. It came from the internal eyes. It was a perspective. It was inside. And so, you know the story. The Israelites listened and gave heed to the 10 spies giving the negative report, and they complained and whined and murmured against Moses and effectively, you know, against God. And God basically said, okay, fine. You know, if you guys are going to complain and be negative and listen to the evil report, then you're not going in. And that whole generation died out there in the wilderness and were not able to go in, or never did go into the promised land, except for two individuals who just happened to be those two spies who saw things just a little bit differently. And so we talked last week about this subject, what you see is what you get, where God is pointing out some principles that the way you see things in your heart is the way you'll approach life and cause things to happen in your life. Life just doesn't happen a certain way and there's nothing you can do about it. Life is very dependent. Your life is very dependent on how you see your life, approach your life, talk about your life, and expect God to function and to move in your life. And we saw the Israelites, they did not expect God to defeat the enemy, and they were exactly right. Isn't that true? So many people will say, oh, look at this. See that? I knew it wasn't going to happen. I knew God wasn't going to come through. There it is, right? And so because of their unbelief, God doesn't move, and then they produce the evidence that supports their belief. And they say, see, I told you. Told you I wasn't going to get healed. I told you God's power wasn't going to move. I told you. You never know what God's going to do. God works in mysterious ways and all of this. And we kind of throw God way out there to where you can't grasp God. You can't get a handle on what He's doing. Oh, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yes. But the Bible goes on to say, therefore God sent His word down to the earth. Why? So that our thoughts could become His thoughts and our minds could be renewed to His ways. Amen. Now, here in the book of Joshua, God just basically allowed a whole generation of Israelites to die. He's got a new generation of Israelites. Joshua and Caleb are the only two left from the old generation. They were the two that saw it in their heart, and they're still hanging tough. There they are, hanging tough. Let me tell you this, Joshua's 80 years old now when Moses is dead and God's ready to take this generation across the river. And let me just tell you, I don't care how many years you've been waiting, if you can see the picture in your heart, hang tough. God can bring it to pass. And you know, if you've been waiting all of these years and you're 80 years old now, you know what your mind's going to say? Well, it hasn't happened all this time. It's probably not going to happen. If it hasn't happened by now, it's probably not going to happen, right? But Joshua and Caleb didn't succumb to that. They stayed with what God said. Now, Moses is dead. The whole generation of Israelites are dead. And here's the younger generation. And God speaks to Moses and He says this. Look at verse 2. Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Well, Moses is dead. What's God saying? God said, I said the same thing to Moses, but he didn't listen to me. Now, to some extent, Moses did, but Moses got, you know, impatient and so on, and didn't obey the Lord quite as much as he should. One time God told Moses, he said, take your stick, your rod, and strike this rock so that water will come out. And he did, and the water came out. The next time around, God said, I want you to speak to that rock, and the water will come out. And Moses got upset, and he took his rod, and he hit the rock twice with his rod. Now the water still came out. It worked. But God said, for that, you're not coming in. You're not going in. Now, what was that all about? Somebody said, well, gee, you make one mistake and God just thrashes you for it. What's that all about? Well, you have to understand there's a lot to this, and to whom much is given, much is required. And Moses had been given a lot. Moses had a lot of understanding. He'd been face to face with God and such, and God expected him to be obedient at a certain level. Not to mention the fact that all of this was typological. In other words, the Old Testament had in it so many pictures of the New Testament. And when God told Moses the first time to strike the rock, most of you know, reading the New Testament, that the rock was a symbol of Jesus to come, in years to come. And God told him the first time, strike the rock, smite it, take the rod and smack it. The second time he said, speak to the rock. And Moses didn't. He hit it again. And the typology there was, the first time, the rock being a type of Jesus or a picture of Jesus, Jesus did come down to the earth and they did strike him, didn't they? They killed him. They crucified him on a cross. But it wasn't to happen again. See, God was going on in the picture. God was painting a picture here, and Jesus wasn't supposed to be killed again on the cross. So the second time we weren't going to strike the rock, we were going to speak to the rock. Why? Because once Jesus has been stricken, killed on the cross, then what do? We take advantage of that salvation through confession of our faith as Jesus is Lord. And God told him, you speak to the rock this time, and the flowing water will come out. And Moses got upset and he struck the rock, and God said, that's not going to work. Now, you got to do it the way I tell you to do it. You've got to do it the way I tell you to do it. Now, God's coming to Joshua here, and he's saying, Moses is dead. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to go get these people and take them across the Jordan. And every place that your foot treads upon, I've given to you, just as I said to Moses. Just giving you a little hint there. You can blow it too. Moses blew it. You can blow it too. Now, Joshua's wising up here, and Joshua's saying, hey, I'm 80 years old. I want to get across this thing. I've been waiting a long time, and I don't need to blow it. Just because somebody else blew it doesn't mean you have to blow it. Just because somebody else didn't get their reward and the promise to come to pass in their life doesn't mean that you don't have to get the promises, that you can't get the promises to come to pass in your life. See, don't look at other people and say, well, it didn't work for them. Probably won't work. No. You look at the Word and do what God tells you to do. Because God knows exactly what you need to do to make it across the River Jordan in your life, to get to the promised land which He promised to you, which could mean a lot of different things. Could mean to the fulfillment of your life calling, could mean with your healing, could mean to your blessing with your family. I mean, could mean a lot of things. But nevertheless, there's a promised land for each of us in Christ. Now, as I said to Moses, verse 4, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, can think about the pictures that God is painting in His mind right now. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Here's the Almighty God talking, and He's saying, Joshua, there's not a person on the earth that can stand face to face with you and win. There's nobody that can go toe to toe with you and win. Why? Because I'm backing you. See, can you see this? Can you see this? I remember when I was in junior high, I had a buddy named Tom Cadiz. Tom was a big guy for his age. And we'd walk home from school together every day. And this one day, we were walking from school, and all of a sudden we saw a rock bounce on the street next to us. And we look around, over across the street are these two knuckleheads, also in junior high. And we talked to each other and said, "Do you think they threw that rock?" "I think they did." We kept walking. Bam! Here comes another one. We look back, and they're looking at us, throwing the nod at us. So anyway, it went for a couple of days, and we had a little bit of words going on back and forth. And finally, I don't remember how it came about, but we had decided that we were going to meet in the yard next door to my house, and the four of us were going to tangle. And it came about the time we were going to meet, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we look down the street, and here those two guys come. But with them is a big guy. This guy's obviously a football player in high school, a big, big boy. And Tom and I were freaked out a little bit. Well, we went down the street. We had a friend just a few houses away from me named Brad. Brad DeCry. And Brad was also in high school. He was an athlete, so I ran down to Brad's house and said, "Brad, listen, do you know this guy coming up, this big guy? Big guy with red hair coming. Do you know that?" "Yeah, I know him." "Can you whoop him?" He said, "I could take him." We said, "Well, come with us just in case he wants to mess around. You just come stay." "All right, I'll come out." So Brad, with Brad coming with us, now we're okay. We're okay. So we went over, we worked those guys, I'm telling you. And the big guy didn't do anything because Brad's standing there. Well, you know what? Here's God. God's standing right behind Joshua, and He's saying, there's nobody on the earth that can take you. There's nobody on the earth that can take you. Now, you think about that. Just like God said that to Moses, He was saying it to Joshua. And just like God says that to Joshua, He's saying it to you. I have called you to certain things. I have made promises to you. And if you will stand up and begin to do what I tell you to do, there's nobody on the earth that can keep you from attaining what I have called you to attain. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. What does that mean? Only. Don't ever be a wimp. Don't ever be discouraged. Don't ever be faint-hearted. Don't ever back down. Don't ever be in unbelief. Only be strong and of good courage. Do you see that? All through the Bible, God tells us to be an extremist when it comes to faith. Did you know that? All through the Bible, I said, God tells us to be an extremist when it comes to faith. Only be strong and very courageous. Very courageous. Sounds like Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for... How many issues in your life would be included in nothing? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Why with thanksgiving? You don't thank somebody until it's done. That's right. It's a prayer of faith. Be anxious for nothing. Jesus said, do not worry about anything. Right? Do not worry about anything. For which of you can add anything to your stature, your height, by worrying? Nothing. You can't do anything. Your Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things might be added to you, if the Lord wills. No, that's not what it said, is it? It said all these things will be added to you. Isn't that right? They will be. They shall be. Do you see how Jesus and the whole Bible talks in this one way? It says, don't you fear, don't you worry, don't you be discouraged, don't you be in unbelief whatsoever. You be strong, you be very courageous, you be confident at all times that what the Lord has promised you is going to come to pass. Just the Bible. That's not the Christian way of the day. Did you know that? The Christian way of our day, in our times, the pop theology, as I would call it, is, well, you never know what God's going to do. Just get in there and pray, throw prayers up there to God, do the best you can. And, you know, God's going to do what He wants to do. Let Him do what He wants to do. But that's not the language of the Bible. Somebody forgot to read the Bible, and somebody started looking at life and interpreting God based on what they saw with their eyes instead of interpreting what they saw with their eyes based on what God said. That's the truth, too. If you want to do great things for God, you're going to have to do it by His Word, by the truth. So, once again, only be strong and very courageous, verse 7, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. What does that mean? Well, when he said this book to Joshua, he's talking about the first five books of the Bible, because that's all Joshua had. We're reading the sixth book right here. The first five books, we call it the Pentateuch. The Jews call it the Torah. First five books, Genesis through Deuteronomy, is all they had. And God told Joshua, you don't let those words from that book depart from your mouth. In other words, that's all I want you to speak is our words from that book. You keep those words of that book in your mouth all the time. Think about how many words you speak all day long. Can you imagine if you just made a decision that all you're going to speak from now on are going to be words that were from or at least in alignment with the Word of God? In other words, you're not going to speak about how terrible life is and, oh, what are we going to do? Look at the news. Listen, oh, the terrorists, oh, the war, oh, the economy, oh, what are we going to do about this? Oh, did you hear today what happened? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my boss said this and our company did that and, oh, no. This is how I feel. I'm not feeling good today. I'm scared today. In Proverbs chapter 17, it says, that a man, I believe it's chapter 17, it says that a man has joy by the answer of his tongue. Do you know that? Somebody said, I don't have any joy. You want to know why? Because you listen to you all day long. That's why. I wouldn't have any joy if I hung around listening to you either. But I tell you what, if you speak God's promises and you begin to say, hey, you know what? If God be for us, who can be against us? As God was with Moses, so he will be with me. See, take these scriptures and put yourself in there and begin to speak these things because they're true. They're true for you. There is no promise in the Bible that's not for you. You may have to adjust it to be relative to your situation. Like, for example, you can't take this and say, hey, look at that. I get all of that land from the river over there, Euphrates, all the way. Hey, if I go walk on that, I can kick the Jews off. No, you can't. No, you can't. See, that's taken out of context. You're not rightly dividing the word. But right on the other hand, you can take the principles here because God is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just like the Israelites here had their land, you've got your land. There's a certain portion of territory that has been allotted to you. God has provided something for you. He's got a plan for your life. That's your land. But if you stay over on the other side of the Jordan and whimper and whine and complain and want God to just transport you over there and to defeat your enemies for you without you stepping out in faith whatsoever, forget it. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to do what God told Joshua. You're going to have to hear God's word and get God's word in your mouth and begin to declare, that's my land and God's going to give it to me. That's my healing. God's going to give it to me. Thank God. By his stripes, I am healed. Declare God's word over your life. Thank God for our relationships, that they're blessed and we walk in love. Thank God. Somebody said, I got a problem with patience. Good. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work in you. Begin to say that. Thank God the testing of my faith produces patience. It's producing patience in me. And I'm letting patience have its perfect work in me. And it'll work. But you got to say, meditate on it. When you meditate, it comes out of your mouth, goes back into your ears, and begins to work on your mind and your heart. But if you allow your mouth just to speak whatever it is that you see going on out in life, then two things happen. Number one, it fouls up your heart. Proverbs says, a man twists his way and his heart frets against the Lord. If you twist your way, if you begin to speak things that are not the truth about your life, this is the truth about your life. It's what God wants you to have. If you begin to speak things that are not the truth about your life, it twists your heart and twists your thinking and your heart frets against the Lord. If you'll speak the truth, your heart will believe God because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more you speak God's word, the more you hear God's word, the more you believe God's word and you're in tune with God's plan.
That's right.
Thank God. Now, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it every morning for about 5 minutes before you go to bed at night, while you're dozing off, just read a couple of verses to put you to sleep. If there's nothing good on TV, whip it out and read a little bit. That's not what it said, is it? No, it said meditate in it day and night. That you may, in other words, you may not, if you don't do it, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. You know, somebody comes in to me and complains, it's not working, it's not, well, are you doing what comes before the then? Well, no. Well, shut up then. You know, we want God to do his part when we don't do our part. It's just the truth. We want God to do his part. We need to do our part. We need to get over here and begin to speak God's word and thank God that his promises are true and convince our heart. The Bible says that Abraham became fully convinced, fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform it. Isn't that right? Amen. That comes from meditating on God's Word. Whatever it is that you're going through, go in the Bible and find the promises that deal with that area. Type them out or write them out. Put them on cards or a sheet or whatever and keep them in front of you and begin to meditate on those. Yes. Why? That's what your heart needs. You need to feed on that. If you're desperate in your diet for tomatoes, go get tomato seeds and plant tomato seeds and water tomato seeds. Don't get zucchini, get tomatoes. See, and some people, if they're desperate for healing or if they're desperate for financial deliverance and blessing, go find the promises about that. And allow God's Word to speak to you. There may be some areas of your life that you need to line up. Well, God's Word will show you. The Holy Spirit will direct you to those and show you what you need to do. Get yourself lined up in that area. And begin to speak those promises and say, thank God, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory. But let me tell you, if he deals with you about lining something up, line it up. A lot of people don't want to line it up. Line it up and begin to get your mouth in order and speak God's Word and it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. Why? Because God's faithful. Otherwise, He lied. If you do what He tells you to do and He promised you if you did that and stepped out in faith, walked in it, that He would bring it to pass, and He doesn't bring it to pass, He lied. He lied. Right? If God told you to do something and He would bring His Word to pass and you do what He said to do and He doesn't bring it to pass, He lied. But let me tell you right now, we don't have a problem with God lying. That's not our problem. We've got a problem with getting ourselves to do what God said to do. That's where we lack. We just don't want to do it. We're so accustomed to our lifestyle. I got my routine. Man, if I did that, it'd break up my whole routine. I just got that easy chair for Christmas too. Got that new universal remote control. Controls everything. I mean, when am I going to use that? Got that new DVD player. When are we going to have time for that? Right? Let me tell you something. When you're desperate, you'll do it. You'll do it. You want it to come to pass. Now, notice again, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. You know why God said, then you will? It wasn't because God's trying to tell Joshua, it's not my power, it's your power. No, it's God's power. That's not what God's saying at all. God is trying to tell Joshua who is the one that's going to exercise the authority to bring God's power. Who's going to exercise the authority? See, when I walk into the room and it's dark, I need to know how to turn the lights on. Show me where the switch is. Somebody says, yeah, hey, you don't understand how it works though. See, electricity, it comes from the main power plant, and here's how it's generated, and here's how it comes through the wires, and here's I don't care. I don't care. Where's the switch? That's what I need to know. If you can point me to the switch, I can get it on, right? Let Southern California Edison figure all that out. Let the power companies figure out how it's going to get there. What I need to do is know where the switch is that turns these lights on. I need to know how to change a bulb periodically. That's what I need to know, right? And you know, there are a lot of people that get those two mixed up between the power and the trigger, so to speak. Where's the trigger to the gun? If you show me where the trigger is, I can get the thing to work, right? Well, do you know exactly? I don't care how it works. Where's the trigger? I'll pull it, right? This is what we need to know. We need to know what our part is. What's our part? I remember listening to a teacher one time, and he was saying, he said this, he said, faith can't heal anybody. He said, there's some people out there saying that faith heals people. He said, faith doesn't heal anybody. And I understood what he was saying, you know, but it was a classroom setting. He said, any questions? And he was provoking everybody. Any questions? He just wanted somebody to raise their hand. I did. And I said, what about that passage where Jesus said, your faith has made you well? He said, I'm glad you brought that up. He was waiting for it, you know. And he pointed out to where that was the woman with the flow of blood. And he pointed out where the Bible says, when she touched the hem of his garment, power went out, or virtue, says in the King James, but power went out of him. And then he turned around and said, your faith has made you well. And he said, see, it was the power that healed her, not the faith. Well, of course, I agree with that. Thank God. I agree with that. Of course it was the power. I didn't say this to him, nor did I think it because all the respect that I had for him. But duh. I don't think anybody really thinks, I think maybe a few wackos, that it's really their power. That they really had the, they didn't have the power. They knew that. But I tell you what we do need to know is who has the authority, right? Authority and power are two different things. Authority and power are two different things, right? You take a policeman, you stick him out in the middle of the street, and I'm coming down the road in my Suburban. I don't know what it weighs. I don't know, a ton and a half? A lot. Heavy. Well, he doesn't have the power to stop me. I don't care how big he is. I'll take him out. Right? He doesn't have the power to stop me, but I tell you what he does have. He's got the authority. He holds up that white glove. And let me tell you something. I'm going to bring that thing to a halt quick. Why? He's got the authority, not the power. Because I could run him right down. And people have before. Isn't that right? Now, you get somebody in the army out there in the middle of the road with a tank. One of these Abrams tanks. And I'm coming down the road, and they point that big gun at me. And the guy holds his hand up, stop. I shake my head, no. They'll blow me off the road. Now they've got the power, right? They'll just flat blow me off the road. They can do it without the authority. There's a man and a bunch of people that knocked a couple of our buildings down without any authority to do it. But they found the power. They directed power that direction and got it done. Jesus turned to the woman with the flow of blood and he said, your faith has made you well. Do you think Jesus was confused? He thought it was her faith. He didn't realize it was his power. He just got a little confused and he thought, do you think Jesus was confused about it? Poor Jesus. You know, he's only been in the ministry 3.5 years. He thought it was her faith. He turned around and said, your faith made you well. Do you think he was confused? No. He knew that it was the power that came out of him that healed her. But what he wanted to get across to her was why that happened. Why did the power come out for her? And all these other people are touching him and no power came out. Why did it come out for her? She found the trigger point. She found the way, the switch to turn the power on. And he turned around and he said, here's what the switch was. Your faith made that happen. It was it the power? Yes, it was the power. What triggered the power? It was her faith. Because she said in her heart, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She saw something in her heart. And she acted on what she saw. And it brought the power of God into her life. And that's what God is telling Joshua, and that's what God is telling you. You want to learn how to bring the power of God into your life? Learn how to speak in line with God's word so that your heart can see God doing his promises for you, so that you begin to act on God's word, be a doer of God's word, expecting God to meet you at the appointed time. Amen. Somebody said, well, that's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. No, it's not easy, but let me tell you, it's enjoyable when it happens. When you do it and you watch God's power come to pass in your life and bless you, and other people say, wow, man, look at that. What happened there? Oh, it wasn't me. Wasn't. Hey, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. We go, we know that. But what happened? God did that. And that's what God wants. God wants a whole bunch of us to be operating in such a way that he can move by his power and get glory for it so that people can look at us and find out that it was our God and turn to our God because our God is loving. This is part of God's plan. And so God's telling Joshua. Now, let's turn over to the book of Ezekiel. No. Let's go to 2 Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians. How many of you remember the scripture in Proverbs 23:7 that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Have you ever seen somebody very gifted and talented, but they had no confidence in their abilities, and so they couldn't act on their abilities? Have you ever seen that happen? But yet they're very gifted. And finally, somebody convinced them of how gifted they were and what their potential was, and they began to be a little more confident. And somebody else came and said the same thing. Oh, man, you can sing. You can really go. Really? Really? And they became more and more confident. They began to see themselves singing. And, man, I can do this. And they finally get up there. And they belt it out. And the whole group crowd says, whoa, standing ovation. Well, man, that gives you some confidence. You begin to think, I can do this. I can. But you know what? There are some people that have giftings and talents and abilities. But because they don't have the picture inside of them being, of that gifting being used effectively and so on, they don't step out. And so, see, that trigger point is not there. That they haven't allowed God to move by his power in that promise because they didn't have the confidence. Well, what do? You go back to God's promises and you speak them and paint the picture in your own heart. You listen to people that take the word of God and paint accurate pictures in your heart of the fact that God wants to bring his promises to pass for you. And if you're just off listening to everybody else in the world, you're not going to get that. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. Why? It's what they talk about. It's what you begin to see. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates. Remember what meditates means? Ponder by talking. Ponders by talking. He meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's what God told Joshua here, isn't it? You notice another guy meditating in the word, speaking it, thinking about it. It changes his picture on the inside, and whatever he does prospers. Man, how come everything that guy does works? Mm-hmm. It's the picture he has on the inside. He's acting on that picture, bringing God's power to pass. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, here's a very interesting verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen. That's an interesting phrase right there, isn't it? Don't look at what you see. Sometimes you read the Bible and you don't stop to realize how ironic it is sometimes. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Don't look at what you see, look at what you can't see. Right? That's what it said. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let me tell you something that's eternal, the promises of God. It doesn't matter what circumstances have changed in your life, the promises of God are eternal. They're powerful. The Word of God, living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm telling you, these promises are filled with the power to bring themselves to pass because they came out of God's heart and mouth. When God released them, these words have the power within themselves to bring themselves to pass for anybody that can believe them. So don't look at the things which are seen, but look at the things which are unseen. How do you do that? You can only do that one way, and that is to have a different picture inside than what you see outside. Have a different picture inside in your heart than what you have or what you see outside. How do you do that? Words paint pictures. I went through the whole thing with the cat, right, and the red car and all that. Words paint pictures. Words paint pictures. You've got a big God. If you could see how big your God is, and here your God is telling you, I'm backing you. If God is for you, who can be against you? I want to bring these things to pass. Let me give you an example. Close your eyes. I'm going to read from Isaiah 6. Close your eyes. I was reading through this and meditating on it one day, and man, it just did something in me to see the Lord. Isaiah writes here, keep your eyes closed. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hands a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity, your sin, is taken away, and your sin is purged." And I also heard a voice, the voice of the Lord, saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears very heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed." Then I said, "Lord, how long?" And he answered me. Now, everybody open your eyes. Think about this. The world of the Spirit is real all the time. Not just when you see it. It's real all the time. God really is the King seated on the throne all the time. All the time. God is wanting to speak into your life and into your heart and mind all the time. God's got a plan for you all the time. He is seated on the throne. I mean, I could just picture that. The train of his robe just fills the tent. That's a big train, isn't it? That's a big, you know what I mean by the train, not a choo-choo train, right? You know, the robe dragging on the floor. I mean, it just fills the whole. This is a majestic God. He's big time. He's the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And he's the one that said to you, "I have a plan for you. There's nobody that can keep it from happening except you. You take my words and put them in your mouth and allow your heart to be filled with the pictures of me bringing this to pass." And you're like, "Yeah, but God," just like this guy. "Oh, but I've already messed up. I've already said too many things. I've done too many. My life is messed up. This happened to me and that happened. I've made this mistake and that mistake." And yet the Bible says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, unchangeable. You couldn't stop them. I don't care what happened to your life. God said it about your life, and he fully intends to bring it to pass. The only thing that can stop it is you having a picture in your heart that it can't happen. Talking and acting and speaking and living as if God can't do it now because you fouled it up so much. No, but if you can get the picture where God comes and he takes the coal from the altar and he touches you and he says, "All right, the past is all cleaned up. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. We're going to get it done today. We're going to start from today and get you to where you need to be." God's word will paint a picture in your heart of him bringing it to pass. And then you begin to live like that. Spoke to me about this church, that he was going to do something in Orange County. And he was going to bring some people. We never lived in Orange County. We've never been to Orange County. And I told my wife, "Hey, the Lord spoke to me. You ready to start a church in Orange County this year?" She said, "How are we going to?" I don't know how. It's not always logical when God speaks to you. But I tell you what, if you see the picture in your heart and you believe it and you begin to act on it, God will respond. God would respond. "Well, I didn't see myself being pastor of this church in Orange County, and I know you didn't see yourself being a part of this church in Orange County, naturally speaking. But I've had lots of people say to me, 'We've been praying for the church like this. We've been praying for God to lead us to a church like this.'" Isn't that something? God spoke to me, and I've been praying about starting a church like this. I hadn't been praying about it until he spoke to me, but once he spoke to me, see, he painted a picture in my heart. Now, the picture that's in my heart, by the way, doesn't look anything like this, except for the ministry that we have here. But the results of it are much, 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 much more vast, much larger, much. the much that I'm sharing with you has a lot more than four letters. I'm telling you, the Lord painted a picture in my heart of what He was going to do. And I'm telling you right now. Somebody says, well, how's that going to happen? By the power of God, obviously. But there has to be somebody pulling the trigger. There has to be somebody and somebodies that see it in their heart that God wants to do something. God doesn't want to play typical church anymore. God wants church that completely takes over a region of the country. Where they're just getting people saved and healed and delivered to the point that the news can't show the news without showing a segment of what the power of God is doing in the earth. That's what God wants to see. But it's going to take people that can see that God can do that and believe for it and speak it and thank God for it constantly until God brings it to pass. But you got to have a picture like that in your heart. Otherwise, you'll begin to walk and act and think and talk as if, well, that's never going to happen, and begin to compare yourself with another person, or in this case, a church, which will limit you because God hasn't called us to be like any other church and hasn't called any other church to be like us. We've got to compare ourselves with what God says to us, and you've got to compare yourself with what God says to you. And let me tell you, it's a lot bigger than you are. You're not going to feel gypped a bit. I'll tell you right now, God's got big things in store for each of you. See, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." What does that mean? That means that faith is the internal picture. Sight is the external picture. We walk by what pictures God has painted in our hearts of what He is going to do rather than what it looks like. Somebody said, well, man, it doesn't look like it. God's going to come through. It's supposed to look like it's not going to work. It's supposed to look like it's not going to. Did you know that? If it looked like it was going to work, it wouldn't take any faith. You could see it's going to work. Right? It's supposed to look like it's not going to work, and yet you believe that it is going to work. That's called faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And not by sight. Everybody in here, there's another level that God has called you to right now. Right now. Right now, you're behind a level. Right now, you are behind. God's saying, come on, come on. Because the Bible says He leads us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. It doesn't matter how. Well, look, I've come a long way. Yeah, guess what? God's saying, come on. Up another step. Come on. Come on. Come up another level. There are things in your life that God is calling you to. He's calling you to come up another level. How does that happen? That happens by you finding out where the switch is to turn on the power. Where's the trigger to release this thing another level? And the release point, the trigger point from what the Bible is showing us is to find out what God is saying to you. See the promises of God and begin to meditate on those to where you can see the next level. It happens in here before it happens out here. This church happened in my heart a long time before it ever happened. A long time. Most of us around here looking, hey, yeah, God's doing some pretty good things. When I talk to other pastors, they're like, good night, what are you guys doing over there? Giving away major appliances? How are you getting all those people over there so fast? I saw it in here. I saw it in here first. See, God spoke to my heart. And I took God at His word and began to think, oh no, everything I put my hand to prospers. And some other people did that with us. And now we got a whole bunch of people doing that with us. Oh yes, thank God. It's going to keep happening too. And we keep speaking the word of God. God's going to keep bringing people in here and change their life with His power. Individually, and obviously it'll happen corporately. Hey, but God wants to do that to everybody in here. Your life's at a certain level right now, and God's saying, come on, come on, come on, come on. This is the Almighty One talking to you. And I made promises to you. Meditate on those. Speak them and think about them. Take some time and just meditate. Paint the pictures of what God has said in His Word, in your heart. See it happening. See it in here. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you think. change the way you live. Why? Because you'll start getting ready for it to happen. Like when we launched this church, and we were running about 80 people. By the time we had ready to launch the church, we had built up people. God had brought people, and we had about 80 people here. And, well, this sanctuary, you know, it can fit a lot more than 80. And we had we owned 200 gray chairs at the time. And we said, yep, we're going to start with two services. And we had some people say, huh, two? You could see people when you announce it. Okay, gang, we're going to start with two services. And people start looking around at all the empty chairs, you know, that are already in the room. And we didn't even fill the thing up halfway in one service. And we said, we're going to start two services. And we did. Started two services. And it wasn't long to where it's a good thing we had two services, because we couldn't fit everybody in one service. And so we got to a place where we were, you know, starting to be, you know, a little more full feeling. And so we went to three services. Well, actually, we bought 100 chairs and just increased the number of chairs in here. And somebody said, well, we weren't full. We still had extra chairs. I know, we need some more chairs. Let's go to three services. Went to three services. And you know what? I could take you with the attendance and just show you. In fact, it was an amazing thing. The week we got the 100 chairs, and you can listen to this. I taught this in one of our messages. I don't remember which one it was, but the week we got 100 chairs, we found out on Thursday that they were ready, so we didn't have time to announce it on Sunday or Wednesday. We went and picked them up on Friday, put them out here. I told them, just scoot the gray chairs to the side and add 100 chairs to the sanctuary. Just put those green ones right here in the middle. Just add them. You know, and I know what all our team's thinking. Well, gee, boy, we weren't full with the gray chairs. Now, the week we added them, and nobody knew it, we hadn't announced it to anybody, there were 100 more people that Sunday than the Sunday before. Now, what is that? What is that? You think I was in the middle of the night calling everybody? Yeah, this is Jerry, the pastor at the church down the street called The Rock. Yeah, how much would it take me to get you to come to church? No. That was just God responding to faith. That's all it was. Us throwing some nets out there and God saying, watch this. Just like that. It's just an amazing thing. Now, you want to have the power of God operating in your life, you got to be able to step out there sometimes. Take some risks on the Word of God. Just do what the Lord tells you to do. Amen. Amen. There are more people here tonight than there was when we launched this church with two services. We just did it by faith. And people keep coming. Why do they come? Because God draws them. That's why. God draws. It's God's power. But let me tell you, it happens by faith. And that's the way it's going to happen in your life. God has promised you some things. Some of you have been waiting on some things and been wondering why things aren't coming to pass in your life. You need to go to the promises of God and allow and meditate on those and allow God to paint the pictures in your heart of who you are and what He's called you to and what your life ought to be like, and meditate to where that picture becomes so real to you. You just have a smile on your face. Somebody said, what are you smiling about? I see it. What do you see? No, I can see it in here. I can see it. And you get that, what a lot of us know as the eye of the tiger. You already won. You win it before you win it. You already won it. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Because somebody says, that's it. It's confidence. Well, but understand, we're talking about the trigger. We're not talking about the power. We're talking about the light switch, not the electricity. Don't ever get to thinking that it's you. No, it's God. It's God. But what we're talking about here, what God's showing Joshua and showing us, is how we unlock the power of God. And once it unlocks and it flows in your life and something happens, make sure that you give God the credit for it. Amen. Don't go saying, well, hey, here's how I did that. No. You just did what God told you to do. But it's God that deserves the glory and the credit. Isn't that right? Can you see that? And I don't think there's anybody in here that would mind giving God the glory and the credit for God bringing to pass His promises. Do you? Huh? No. We're willing to do it. Let's stand together. Thank God. Thank you, Father. Well, I've got some more to share on this, so is it all right if we go some more weeks on this? Amen. I was going to share some things with you tonight that I didn't get to, so we'll hit them next week. But let's do this. Close your eyes. Raise your hands. Let's thank God that He's changing our hearts and our pictures in our lives. Go ahead. Thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that You're changing us from the inside out. You're painting accurate pictures in our lives. Thank God. Thank you, Father. Everybody say this out loud. Say, thank you, Father, for the Word. The living Word. It's powerful. It's accurate. Your promises are true. I receive Your Word tonight to paint accurate pictures in my heart. Accurate pictures of who You are. Accurate pictures of who I am. And accurate pictures of who the devil is. I believe in my heart that You're a faithful God. You keep Your promises to me. They will come to pass. If God is for me, who can be against me? God is on my side. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. No evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. He gives His angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. In their hands they bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. Everything I set my hand to shall prosper. Who can separate me from the love of Christ? Nothing. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. So shall His word be that goes forth from His mouth. All the promises of God are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. I bear much fruit. I abide in Him, and His word abides in me, and I bear much fruit. By this my Father is glorified, that I bear much fruit. I can do this. I will do this in the name of Jesus with the power of God. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Let's thank God. Praise God.